Okay, we're starting here with the Gemara on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Three lines down on the Daf. Rabbi Akiva Yitzkadish Le Brate de Kalba Sevua. Rabbi Akiva got engaged and made Kedushin with the daughter of Kalba Sevua. This Gemara is a similar Gemara to what we saw in Kesubos on Daf Samach Bet. Over there, the Gemara discusses a similar story. There are some Shinuyim in the story between here and there. We could point out some of them along the way. But between the two of them, you get the general picture of that which transpired. Now, Kalba Sevua was a very wealthy man. The Gemara mentions he was one of the three people that could have supported Yerushalayim during the siege on Yerushalayim. And the name Kalba Sevua came from the fact that anybody who was Ra'ev Kekelep, anybody who was so hungry when he went to his house, always came out Sevua, came out feeling satisfied. So his daughter Rachel went ahead and got engaged to Rabbi Akiva. Over here, it sounds like that it got engaged and it was a known fact. The Gemara Ksubo seems to indicate that they got engaged secretly. And that at the time of the engagement, she said to him, to Rabbi Akiva, that the engagement was on condition that he go and learn. Over here, it seems to be the sending him to yeshiva, going to yeshiva, takes place at a later stage in their marriage. So Shama Kabbalah heard about this engagement that taking place between Rabbi Akiva and Rachel. Because he thought it was an inappropriate marriage, therefore he took a nether hanoah to restrict her, Rachel, in all his possessions. So obviously this left them in a destitute situation. Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd, didn't have any money. Now Rachel was disinherited, disowned by her father. Azav in Sevila. So nevertheless, she went ahead and married him, knowing that the nether was in place. She still nevertheless went ahead and married Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara Ksubo seems to be that the nether was after they had found out that they were married already. Here it seems to be the nether was prior to getting married. Besitva, Havagano Besitva, in the winter they had no place to live, they had no blankets, they had no pillows, so they would live in a pile of straw. Havakamankit Leitivna Min Mazion, Rabbi Akiva was picking out the straw from Rachel, but Kalba Sevua's hair, and he said to her, Amar Lach, Ihavai Li, Remina Lach Yerushalayim Dehav, if I had enough money, I would buy you a Yerushalayim Shel Dehav. Yerushalayim Shel Dehav, as Gemara Shabbos mentions, was a type of jewelry that the woman wore that had the pictures of Yerushalayim on it. So he says, if I had that wealth, or I had that ability too, I would buy you a Yerushalayim Shel Dehav. And later on, when Rabbi Akiva does become wealthier, we know that he did buy such a thing for such a piece of jewelry for his wife. Ad Eliyahu Itmi Lahon Ke'anosho. So Eliyahu came by to visit Rabbi Akiva and Rachel. Kakari Ababa, he was knocking on the door. Amalhu, Habali Porta Ditivna, please give me a little bit of straw. The Alat Itati, my wife gave birth, lately me down. I don't have anything, Laguna, to make a bedding or to put her down in. So Amalei Rabbi Akiva and today, Rabbi Akiva said to his wife, Rachel, Chazi Gavra, Tafilu Tivna, Lo Yitzle. See, this person doesn't even have straw. At least we have straw. So the Rishonim point out here, that was the whole point of Eliyahu coming. Here it was to give Nechama to Rabbi Akiva and to his wife so that they could feel better, that they had something, that they were in a better position than others, that were more destitute, and also that gave them the ability to give to others. Then Rachel leans over to him and says, go ahead, Amrlei Zil Havi Beirav, go learn in the basement, just go and become a Talmud Chacham. So we said before that the Gemara Ksuba seems to be that was a condition in their Kiddushin, whereas here it seems to be a later development that she then sends him out to go to Yeshiva. Azal Tarte Sarishnin Kamei de Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shui. He went to Yeshiva for 12 years and he learned before Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua. The Mishlam Tarte Sarishnin, after 12 years of learning, Ka'af of the Beta, he was returning home. He was standing, he didn't reach his house, he was outside the house, and he heard the conversation between his wife Rachel and a neighbor. One evil person, I think Mark Subu calls him a neighbor, that came by to speak to his wife. Your father made a good decision to disinherit you or to disown you. Number one, he's not an appropriate shidduch for you. You're not on par. It was a bad shidduch. And another thing is that Shavkeich Amalut Chiyut. Right, so the Kol Hushinin, all these years, he's left you a living widow. And he's gone now for 12 years to learn in the Beis Medrash, and you're left here as a living widow. Had he listened to me, and 12 wouldn't have been enough, I would tell him to stay for another 12 years. Amar, so Rabbi Akiva says, since she gave me permission, then he'll go, I'm going back. I'm back to the yeshiva. She said another 12 years, I'm going back to the yeshiva. It's a famous in Sichos Musar, the famous Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, who mentions that why couldn't he have just gone in the house? Why couldn't he have gone in to see his wife? And then after 12 years, so he talks about the idea of something that's done with tefillah, something that's done on a continuous basis without interruption, has a building and a multiplicative effect in the fact that it's done on a continuous basis. If it's interrupted, then it changes the whole dynamic. We have this in halacha by kavush, or the example he gives maybe by a pot that's boiling on the stove. Something that's boiling on the stove, if you take it off the stove and put it back, versus just leaving it on the stove, how much hotter it would be, even though you only took it off for a very short time and replaced it, but the one that was continuously on the stove would be much hotter. So the idea that the learning, continuous learning for 24 years, had a echud, a quality that was so much greater than had he done it in 12 years and then 12 years. Hey, or Pasha Pshad is that he would have, spent some time, saw his wife, maybe she would have changed her mind, maybe he would have gotten distracted to spend a couple of days. So this is why he was never entered the house, and he returned back to the Beis Medrash. Hadar Azel Havataratis. And then he came back up the next 12 years, so it's 24 years after leaving his wife. Taratis Sari Shane Acharinita. So he went for another 12 years. Asa Be'esrin Ba'arba Alfin Zuke Talmidei. So he came back with 24,000, whether the word Zuke is appropriate here or not, whether he came back with 24,000 pairs of students or 24,000 students who were pairs, meaning 12,000 pairs of students. Nafek Kuliyam La'apri. So he came to town and everybody went out to greet him. Va'afhi Kamat L'meipak La'apri. So she, meaning his wife Rachel, was also going out to greet him. The question of why she went out to greet him, whether because he was just a chacham that was coming to the town and she went out to greet him, or that she knew that it was her husband, Rabbi Akiva, coming back. So this, also, again, another evil neighbor, whether it's the same neighbor or not. Lahecha, where are you going? Amalei, she said back to me, Yodei Tzadik Nevesh Behemto. That Tzadik knows the soul of his behemoth. I mean, that Rabbi Akiva, if it was someone who she just was going out because she thought it was a big Rosh Hashiva coming to town, so then it means that if he's a real tzaddik, that's what Rashi says, then he will accept everybody. He will look at everybody, he'll accept everybody, and then I can go out to him. And if we say that she did know it was Rabbi Akiva, then she's saying that Rabbi Akiva, of course, he knows what I've suffered all these years for him to go learn in yeshiva, so he's not going to say anything about what I wear or how I approach him or what I look like. She was trying to get close to him, but the Rabbanim were pushing her away. The Mark Subas is a slightly different version where she actually does get there and kisses his feet, and then they push her away. Armelahon, in both the here and the Mark Subas says, Hanichala, leave her alone. Shalivi shalachem shalahu. Everything I've learned and everything you've learned, all is on her shoulders. They belong to her. She was the one who either, the Mark Subas, she's the one who convinced Rabbi Akiva, as a condition of their marriage, to go to the Beis Medrash. The Gemara here, and even in Ksubas, that she allowed him to go for so long, meaning that she allowed her husband to go away and learn. That was in her schus that we all have the stories. Shama Kabbalah Subua heard that Rabbi Akiva was in town, but Itcho al Nidre. He went ahead and asked on his Neder Bishture, sorry, and it was, they were, found a Petach Neder, and they opened up that, they opened the Neder, meaning that they were Oker, the Neder Mikaro, and therefore he was able to give his money, or to benefit his wife, his daughter Rachel, and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara in Ksubos reads a little differently and says that when he came, he didn't realize that Rabbi Akiva was his son-in-law. So when he comes before Rabbi Akiva, he says, "I have this neder that I want to go." And he goes, "If you had known that he would be a big talmid chacham, would you have ever taken the neder?" And he says, "No. If you had learned even perek achas, halacha achas, had you known anything, I wouldn't have made this neder." So Rabbi Akiva says, "I know who I am. Him," and he was matir the neder. Question that all of you showing up to do with is, isn't this nolad? We're going to see later on in the Gemara here that when something changes, meanwhile there's new facts on the ground, you're not allowed to be matir neder. The whole idea of akiras neder, matir being matir neder, is that at the time of the took the neder, there was some variable that you were unaware of or didn't focus on, and that's what we use to be oker the neder. But that's not true here. The fact or the item that's making him change his mind is something that's nolad that happened afterwards. So why are we allowed to be oker the neder mikaro if the item or the newsworthy issue that's making him change his mind is only developed at a much later stage? So you've shown him over here, mentioned it, and some more explicitly in Ksubos mentioned that either because the tonight in his nether, or the underlying assumption, it wasn't maybe an explicit tonight, but the implicit tonight in his nether, was the reason that he was making the nether was because it was an inappropriate shidduch, because he wasn't a Talmud Chacham. And then when Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud Chacham, or he was an appropriate shidduch, then the neder does not chal, because the neder had this implicit condition that the whole reason he was making the neder was to stop the marriage. And the fact that Rabbi Akiva later became a Talmud Chacham shows you that it was a misplaced nether. The nether was misplaced because Rabbi Akiva wasn't appropriate shidduch. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility that Tosfos mentions that Kol Elef Bei Rav, the assumption is that it'll be a Talmud Chacham. Anybody who goes to yeshiva, the underlying assumption is that he will become a Talmud Chacham. And therefore, when he left at that time, when Rabbi Akiva made the condition of Ksubas, and he said, I'm going to learn in yeshiva, then already it was considered a Talmud Chacham. And so therefore, it wasn't no letter. It wasn't something that happened later on. Right? We could have used the Gemara also here mentioned earlier in our Masechta, also the possibility of when someone takes a nether to stop his wife from marrying off their daughter or their son to someone in her family versus his family. And they said that the wife doesn't listen. In that instance where she doesn't listen, they would have pet up the nether. Was if you had known she wouldn't listen to you, even if you took the nether, would you take the nether? So we could possibly say the same thing here, too. That Rabbi Akiva, the reason that Kabbalah Tzavua took the nether, at least according to the Gemara here in the Dharma, was to stop the marriage. If he knew that his daughter was going to ignore him anyway, maybe that should be enough of a petach in the nether, because he wouldn't have made the nether had he known his daughter would ignore him anyway. Alright, now, the Gemara continues. Min shiktu mila yit ata Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva got rich from six things. The first of them is, min kabal sabua. After he was matur nether, kabal sabua was very wealthy. Rabbi Akiva was his son-in-law. He was able to give him loads of money. Now, the other second one is, min ayla de spinto. That's from the ayil that is put on the boats. What the whole spinta abinlay min eina. Each boat they used to make this ayal. They used to make this deer to make that it was a siman that the boat should go swiftly and fast and things should go well for them. And as part of this, the Ran says it was nichush that they did over here, and they used to fill it with gold coins in order to. That was part of what made it, I guess, special or gave them that they thought would be a bracha for a successful trip on the ship. One time the ship was putting together their stuff, they were leaving, and they left the idol on the beach. Atahu Ashkechei. And then he went ahead and, Rabbi Akiva went ahead and he found this ayal, and inside were all these gold coins. And that's another way that he got rich. Number three is, Min Gavza is from a treasure chest. Why? One time he gave four zuz, small amount of money, to some shippers, merchants. They were going, Aramahu, why could we need them? Bring me back something with the money. They didn't find anything. They couldn't find anything valuable. They found some chest that was left over from a boat, right? And Al Kef Yama on the edge of the on the shoreline, and they took that. That's you all day. They brought it for him. Amrulay, they said, Abid Marana. All right, you know, listen, you know, this is really worth something. Let us, at least next time, we'll get you something. Let's go. So he says, no. Rabbi Q says, no, I'll take it. Whatever you brought me, that's good. They opened it up, and they saw that it was full of money and wealth. The Zimnachado Tavat Finato, because where did it come from? There was a time that a boat had sunk. The Kuliska Havamachit Bao Gibza, and this chest held all of their possessions, all of their wealth, their trading items, being their money, the Ishtakach Bao Zimna, and that's what they found on the shoreline. Alright, the Min Sukrunita, now the Bach eliminates this Girsa, because that would make it seven items and not six items, and he places that. He says that it was a Tsfinatim to Min Sukuraita. The boat was from Sukuraita that lost this treasure chest. Now, number four is Min Matronita, is from the matron. What was that? What was the case of the Matronita? So the Ran and Rashi over here bring down a case that Rabbi Akiva needed money for the yeshiva, so they went to this Roman matron, and they borrowed money from her. And she said, who's going to be the guarantors for the loan? And so Rabbi Akiva says the guarantors are HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Yam, and the ocean. So Rabbi Akiva got sick, and he was unable to repay the loan, so this matron went to the sea, the edge of the sea, and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I lent Rabbi Akiva, and he made you and the Yama guarantors of the loan. And then, lo and behold, washes up ashore a chest of jewels. Where the chest of jewels came? So at that time, it says, the Ran says that the Caesar had a daughter who had gone gone crazy, and she ended up throwing a bunch of jewels, a chest full of jewels, into the sea, and that's what washed up at that moment. So Hashem basically took care of the loan, and he paid back the matron. Later on, Rabbi Akiva becomes healthy, and then he raises the money and goes to return the money to the matron. When he shows up there, she says, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already took care of you. He already paid me back. You don't have to. So now, the way the Ran says it, is that when Akiva went to pay her, she says, well, I got the money, and there was actually change from this treasure chest, and I'm going to give you the change because you paid the loan and everything extra. I know it came only on your schus, and I'm going to give it back to you. Whereas Rashi says, no, that she told him the story about how what the miracle was, And then she gave him a lot of gifts and gave him and sent him off on gifts because she realized that he was a big gadol, or that the miracles happened in his behalf. She gave him gifts, not that it was changed from that which had happened. So either way, from this Matronita, this is the third way, or the fourth way, I'm sorry, that Rabbi Akiva had become rich. Now we're up to the fifth way. It was Min Ishto Shel Tonis Rufus, the wife of Tonis Rufus. What's the wife of Tonis Rufus? Tonis Rufus was a Baal Pulta of Rabbi Akiva before the Caesars. They used to argue many times about the Pesukim in the Torah. And one of the times Rabbi Akiva, or many of the times Rabbi Akiva, bested Tonis Rufus. When Tonis Rufus came home, he was upset. He told his wife, he was all despondent at the fact that Rabbi Akiva was besting him in these arguments. So Tonis Rufus' wife says to Tonis Rufus, listen, if you give me permission, I know that the God of the Jews hates his notes, but if you give me permission, I'm going to go and seduce Rabbi Akiva. So Tonis Rufus gives his wife permission. She was a beautiful woman, gives her permission to go and seduce Rabbi Akiva. So she goes and tries to seduce Rabbi Akiva. So when she does try to seduce Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva does three things. And he spits, all right, and then he cries, and then he laughs. So the woman, Tonis Rufus' wife, says, what's this? My high? What are you doing? What's these things? So first of all, he spit on the ground. He says, I spit to tell you because you come from a tipa shrucha. You come from a, you know, nothing. I mean, that you're just a human being. There's nothing special. But just because you're beautiful, there's nothing special. Well, you come like everyone else. Me tipa shrucha. Although the Tosfos here adds that she was a kutit and a psula. And that there's nothing exceptional about you. I can't be attracted. I can't be seduced by you because you are not re'uya. The second thing, oh, why did you laugh? Why'd you cry? I'm sorry. I cried because this beauty is eventually going to end up in the dust of the earth. So similar things that we've seen to Rabbi Yochanan and the Gemara and Brachos, that when there is a need, or there is a reason to thank Hashem and to see beauty as something that Hashem presents to the world, and therefore when that beauty is going to be lost, that's something sad. So Rabbi Akiva cried, first spit, then he cried, and then he laughed. On the part of laughter, he says, I can't tell you. According to Rashi in the story, Rashi says that she pushed him and pressed on him, and he did tell her the reason he laughed. According to the Ran, he did not tell her the reason that he laughed. But why did he laugh? Because he saw Beruach HaKodesh that Tunis Rufus was going to pass away, and then Tunis Rufus was going to be Mizgayer. She was going to become a Gioret, and she would eventually marry Rabbi Akiva, and that's why he laughed. And that's what happened later on. After she realized what Rabbi Akiva did, she said to Rabbi Akiva, what's my tshuva? How can I do tshuva? Is there tshuva for someone like me? And Rabbi Akiva answers her yes in the affirmative. And according to Rashi, she went in with Nisgayer and then married Rabbi Akiva, knowing about this, what Rabbi Akiva saw. According to the Rashi, she didn't know about it, but that was the eventuality that she was Nisgayer and eventually married Rabbi Akiva. So the sixth thing that Rabbi Akiva got rich on is Miktia Bar Shalom. Miktia Bar Shalom is a case in Avodah Zarah. He worked in the Romans, and he argued on behalf of the Jews to the Roman emperor at the time, and he came up with a solution arguments that bested the Roman emperor. So the emperor in the end said that you're right, but you must be punished, because anybody who bests the emperor must be punished. So he was eventually punished, and before they put him into his lockup that he's going to be punished, when he's eventually going to die, he says, all my possessions should go to Rabbi Akiva b'chaverav. And all my possessions should go to Rabbi Akiva and his friends, meaning that he gave away all his possessions to Rabbi Akiva, and that's how Rabbi Akiva became wealthy. So these six items are both independent ways that Rabbi Akiva became wealthy. One, Min Kabbalah Sibur, which is the topic of the Gemara over here. Then was Ayala de Spinta. They found the type of ayal that they used to put in the front of the ship, and it was full of gold. The other item was that he found the gavzo. He found the treasure chest that he had sent away from the merchants, and came back and they found the treasure chest that was full of treasure that they didn't know about, but they brought him that. Then the other one was the machonita, which is the matron where he had borrowed money and she was repaid, and then for she either gave him gifts according to Rashi, or she gave him the change. He got rich. And then Ishto Shel Tonis Rufus was the case that we just discussed. His wife eventually, after Tonis Rufus passed away, she converted and married Rabbi Akiva, and she was wealthy because Tonis Rufus worked in the government of the Roman government. And Miktia Bar Shalom, who gave away all his possessions to Akiva Chavirav when he was being taken to his death. And the Gemara there says that Miktia Bar Shalom is Muzuman Chayolam Abba, that he had done something that was very positive for the Jews, and therefore he was deserved of Olam Haba. And now the Gemara continues here with the story of Gamdai Dalit Zuzelis Funai. Well, we're on the topic of someone giving money to others or merchants to do something for him. So if Gamda gave 4 zuz to a Sfunai, to some shippers or merchants, to bring back something. They didn't find anything. They end up, the only thing they found was a monkey. So they brought him back the monkey. Ishtamit, it escaped. Al Lecharto, the monkey that they bought actually escaped and ran to a hole. Chafu Batre, they went and they dug after the monkey to wherever he had gone. Ashko Dervia, a Margalita, that he was kneeling or laying on top of jewels. So they went and they took all these jewels and brought them back to Rav Gamda. So all the Rishonim here point out that Minadin, they were not obligated to bring these to him, but they did Lifnei Mishurat Hadin, they did a Milah Chesed, and because they knew that the kof that they bought was for Rav Gamda, and the only reason the kof went escaped and showed them these jewels was on the behalf of Rav Gamda, the exclusive of Rav Gamda, so Lifnei Mishurat Hadin, they went ahead and they gave him that which they had found, the jewels or the precious stones that they found. So Amrlei Bat Kesar, this is the Gemara that we saw in Tanis together, and Daf Yomi earlier, Amrlei Bat Kesar, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Torah Mifura Bikli Mechuar, that Rabbi, honestly, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was not a handsome individual, he was ugly. Here the Gemara, Rosh says that he was Shachor, the Gemara in Tanis there, some of the Rishonim mentioned that he was ashen-faced, that his complexion wasn't nice, he was not a pleasant person to look at. So the Bat Kizar says to Rabbi Shuban Chananya, a beautiful Torah, and you're the kli, you're the utensil that holds it. Such an ugly thing holds such a beautiful Torah. I learned from your father's house. Again, the Girsi is slightly different than which is in Tanis about what transpired, but basically the same idea. But Memini Chinyayin, she asks her, what do you put, your house, your family, where do they put the wine in? Amrlei, b'mani de pachra, we put them in kli cheres, we put them in earthenware vessels. Amrlei, kli amo pachra, v'atun b'mani de pachra. Everybody else in the world uses earthenware vessels to hold wine. You, the royalty, are going to use the same type of vessels? Atun achitun b'mani de kasvadav, put your wine into silver and gold casks or barrels. Adlat ramat, chamra b'mani de kasvadav. She went ahead and listened to him, and they end up putting the wine into gold and silver barrels. Sorry, and guess what? It turned into vinegar. They weren't able to hold it. The metal's not good for the wine, and it turned to vinegar. Amarlah. So basically, that was he was trying to drive home the mashal. Amarlah. Aporaita kain. Torah is like that, right? That what? That even though wine, right, which is such an exceptional product, it has to be stored in order for wine to become wine and to ferment and to develop properly. It has to be put in earthenware vessels. If it's stored in gold and silver, which would be more appropriate for royalty, it would get ruined. It would get spoiled. So Torah is the same way. Torah, beautiful Torah, wonderful thing, has to be kept in the vessels, the appropriate vessel. And the appropriate vessel is someone like myself who's ugly. So Gemara asked, Vayikra Shapirin, Vigimirin. We have people who are handsome and good-looking, and they also learn Torah. Amarlah, or she said to him, so Amarlah, Yihavasanu, Avagimirin, say, if they were uglier, they would learn more. I mean that their handsomeness and their good looks are a distraction to them, putting their whole being into Torah. And therefore, if they were to be uglier, they would learn more Torah. There was a woman who came before Rabbi Yehuda min Arda Ludina from Arda to give her something. Bitkayva min Dino, and he was mechayiv her, meaning that she lost in her din. Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Chafi Donon. Is this the way Shmuel your Rebbe used to make it paskin alocha? So Amalei is that way? Wow, you know my Rebbe Shmuel. So Amalei in. Yeah, I do know him. Gutsa v'Rabba Krise. He's a midget. He's short. He's got a pot belly. Ukum, and he's black. Right, Rabbi Shina, he's got big teeth. So Amarlah, the Julia Kostich. You mean you're telling me about my Rebbe to make fun of him, to perform him, to disgrace him? To have Yihai Yitzitah B'Shamto. You should be in Shamto. You should be put into Chayim right away. Toka Umeto. She exploded and died on the spot. So you have to be careful how you speak to Talmud Chacham, because if you anger or ignite the wrath of a Talmud Chacham, then the reprisal can be swift and and disastrous or destructive. So now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when you restrict yourself in Ma'aseh Keder, that you mutar bebeita turmita. The Gemara says, my beita turmita. What is this beita turmita? Amar Shmuel, avdo the ovid lo shavi alpha dinar. A servant that can make this beita turmita is worth 1,000 dinar. How do you make it? Ma'ala alpha zimne b'mayasamime. You put the egg into hot water 1,000 times. And then you put it 1,000 times into cold water. Adim is zutra, until it shrinks down. So that you can swallow it in one shot. So whether it's hard-boiled egg or soft-boiled egg, whatever it is, but it seems that you can be able to swallow once it's shrunk down from the all the cooking, that you're able to swallow it in one shot. V'mitz kiba, right? If he has some sort of bellyache, sounds like here from like an ulcer of some sort, then sarech alai, it coats it or goes over it. V'kanafka v'atya, yoda atya ma'et sama mitzvayle umay mitzvase. So after, then when he expels it from his body, when it comes out, the doctor can look at it, and it will give evidence of what he needs, meaning how to cure him. It'll tell him what type of medicine he needs, and how he will get healthy. So use it as some way to check if it's if you do have such a stomach ulcer or some problems in the stomach. They use it as a method to check what the issue was, and because they use it to check the meds, then the doctors are able to then assess the person and give them the proper medication. Again, even without the medicinal side of it, it was a seems to be what they thought was a nutritious or beneficial type of eating. Shmuel of a badik nafshe bekulcha. Shmuel used to check himself out with a kulcha. Kulcha, klakshel kruv, is a stalk of cabbage. Ad mitatrin in shebeze alei sarayon. Until the people of his house were pulling their hair out over him. So why were they pulling their hair? So first of all, he's using a kruv to do the same thing to base it to maita. He had some sort of ailment and he wanted to check it out. And he was using the kruv to somehow give him evidence of what the problem was. And because of this kruv that he was having, he got weak, and he passed out, and his family was very upset. His wife, his family were very upset at that, and they were over the sorrow or the feelings that they had over Shmuel becoming so weak. They were very distraught, and therefore they were pulling out their hair over this issue. Tanan Hatam, we have a Mishnah over there. Hayose b'kufsim lo yochal b'no tshevo. If he's working in kufsim, he should not eat b'no tshevo. B'no tshevo lo yochal b'kufsim. If he's working in the b'not sheva, he shouldn't eat in the klufsin. So what are these items? He's talking about a poel. A poel works in the field, is entitled to eat. Wherever he's working, he's entitled to take into his and eat on the spot, because you can't restrict him. He's not allowed to take away from that area and take it with him home. As long as he's working, he's allowed to eat. But that's only what he can take from the min, the item that he's working in. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying that klufsin and b'not sheva, which are different types of te'inim of figs, they are considered different minim, they're different species, or have different characteristics, and therefore if a poel, if a worker is working in benot sheva, he cannot eat the klufsin. If he's working in klufsin, he cannot eat the benot sheva. The Gemara says, my klufsin, what are these klufsin? The Gemara says, mina detainin. They are a type of fig, the avdim in hon lipade, lafte, or they make from it some sort of dish called lafte. How gava, they have avdil lechaber, the agmure alfa mine lafte. So an individual purchased from his friend or rented his friend's servant in order to teach him 1,000 ways to make lafte. Agamrei tamne mea. He's only taught him 800. He was only able to teach him 800, not 1,000. Zamna zidina, v'kamei the Rebbe. He took him before Rebbe to din. He said, you know, I paid for 1,000 ways. I only got 800. Amar Rebbe avoteinu, amru nishenu tova, anu afilu beinenu lo ra'inu. So it's from the Rashi Beer quotes the pasuk Echa, but that we right don't even know what goodness is there out there, that we don't have a sense of how good fruits can taste and how food can be so tasty because our forefathers did because of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and you here are worried about, you know, he gave you 800. This is something unusual. It was unusual that you could get such tasty food and such wonderful food. How could you complain about 800 versus 1,000? It seems to be an argument that is ridiculous, that it was enough, 800 was already enough, even though he said 1,000, 800 is plenty, because we have no idea of how to get this. And the fact that he was able to teach you is an amazing thing. So, Rabbi Avadlehu, the Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi was making a wedding for his son, Rabbi Shimon. He took out a place. He rented a hall for 24,000 dinar. He paid for getting the wedding hall or for the wedding. So they paid for this, or to rent it out, this hall, they paid 24,000. He did not invite Bar Kapara. Seems to be the fact that he didn't invite Bar Kapara. We're going to stick Mara tomorrow. But the reason they did not invite Bar Kapara is because Bar Kapara was a batchan. He was a big joker. And he didn't want, Rebbe didn't want him to make him laugh and to be a joker, because we're going to see in the Gemara, tomorrow's Gemara, that every time Rebbe laughed or got happy, then something bad happened in the world. So he didn't bite Bar Kappara because he thought that maybe his behaviors would not be appropriate. Either it make him laugh or he would offend the other guests, which we're going to see actually happens tomorrow when he does. So I'm going to let him, if Hashem rewards Rebbe who does not act appropriately, someone who does act appropriately, certainly so, because Rebbe Kappara felt offended by the fact that Rebbe did not invite him. Then, as I'm in the end, Rebbe ended up inviting him. This, someone who does that which is appropriate before Hashem, look what he's rewarded, the wealth that he's given, like Rebbe. Then, certainly in Olam Haba, such a person will get a tremendous reward. So we're going to stop here, and we'll continue with this Gemara tomorrow.